Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. You're already speaking to us, Lord God, to have eyes to see what you see, Lord God, that we are not going to see and judge things merely by the flesh and merely by what we see tonight, but tonight that you, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of the church, Father. Even though I'm sharing, I pray that you would communicate your truth to people because you are the only one who can affect the hearts of humankind. And so tonight, every man and woman listen tonight, Father God, here and through our cameras and everywhere else, Lord God, they would get a word from you because you are teaching tonight. You use men and women, but you are the speaker. You are the one who changes life. And so we confess that today. Father, we pray for our nation, and we pray that you would continue to move mightily in our nation. We see a revival in a student body. We see a revival in young people. We see things happening, Lord God, because what the TV shows is not the reality of the Spirit. So today we want to connect with that, Lord God. And we pray for Israel, Father God, that you would bring peace in that nation. You would peace around the world. That is the prayer that you tell us to pray. So we are agreeing with your word tonight, Father. And so we pray for the churches around the Inland Empire who are teaching your truth. We do not compete against churches, Lord, but we advance one kingdom, and that is yours alone. So we always make that confession to be true today. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say, amen. Amen. In the beginning of the year, our pastor introduced us to an amazing verse, and he laid out a vision for a year. He says, the year of grace. We had an amazing conference that was just absolutely, I mean, there's so many things we can say about that conference, but it was amazing. And so this verse lays out for us this idea that God wants to manifest his grace. And so we have definitions of grace there, and you can read those, one from our founding pastor, Pastor Jim, and from our founding pastor, Pastor Deborah. And so they laid out this idea of grace and how it manifests and how it works in our lives. And this verse is so powerful because I want you to understand what God wants to show us today through what's happening with Israel and what can happen with us today. And it's very important for us to see that. And in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, I want you to get there. If you have your Bible or phone, whatever, get there and mark it. We'll go to other verses, but we're going to come back to this at the end of the message once again. Zechariah 4, 7 says this, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone," meaning the ending, the what's going to seal this construction, the capstone, "and with shouts of grace, grace to it." And when you read this verse in an isolated sort of version, you're like, what is happening here? And this is important for us to know because it is, I believe, what God is doing. What God said as a vision through our pastors is so important for us to see how God is building his church. And what God put in my heart today is grace and blessings are in the house of the Lord. Grace and blessings are in the house of the Lord. I have a love for the church. I love the church because this, to me, is so important. There's so many references in the Word of God how God loves a place of meeting. I'll repeat that. There's so many verses where God loves a place of meeting. And that could be a personal thing that you in your personal time find a place where you always meet with God or wherever he meets. There is something crucial about that. And I know people say, oh, pastor, you know, according to the New Testament, we can have a church in our home. And it's true, the New Testament church was building homes. But something happened about a meeting place that is so powerful. And a lot of times our culture has found a way to diminish that, And I want to tell you, grace and blessings are found in the house of the Lord. Something happens in the corporate gathering of the saints that does not happen anywhere else. I don't know how, but that's how he designed it. I don't know why, but that's how he designed it. And a lot of times we have to come back to understanding that that's where God is going to manifest his grace and blessings for our lives. Because if we diminish or take that away, which is what happened to us during COVID, everything was essential, my friend. The hardware store was essential. The supermarket was essential. Do you know the strip clubs were essential in Las Vegas? Oh, you didn't know that. You couldn't go to a church, but you could go to a strip club. You look it up. It's all over the news during COVID. Somehow, someone said that this place, the house of God, was unnecessary for the people of God. And that's a lie of the enemy. That's an absolute lie of the enemy. Something happens in the place of meeting. And God is telling Zerubbabel, through Zechariah, saying, Zerubbabel, you're going to do something for me. Let me tell you what's happening. And we're going to see both incidents. In the Jeremiah, we'll see in a minute, Jeremiah prophesies that they'll be captive by Babylon for 70 years. In Zechariah has to return, and all these guys, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Ezra, all this is happening at the same time. All those books is the same occasion. These guys are having to come back after 70 years of trouble and problem and destruction. They're having to come back to rebuild what was Jerusalem and its temple. And a lot of times our lives are that way, that we walk away from the things of God, and then we have to come back to rebuild everything that life has destroyed. But I want to tell you today that it's in the house of God. There's grace and blessings for you to build the things that God has sent out for you to build in every area of your life. Why? Why is this important? Why is it important for God to have a place of meeting? Why? Because the order of God brings the blessing of God. The order of God brings the blessings of God. And this is a concept that I've known for many years. We've been in this year for a long time. Our senior founding pastor, Pastor Jim, introduced this thought a long time ago. And he said, the order of God brings the blessing of God. And when we have that order in our lives, when we can bring that thought into the equation of what we do, all of a sudden God can get to work in our lives. What happens is that we want the blessing of God without the order of God. We want the blessing of God without the order of God. Because we all want to be blessed one way or another. We all desire the blessing of the Father, the blessing of our family, the blessing the Word of God confesses, but a lot of times we do not want to put the order of God in the process of what we do. Are you with me today? Or are you ready to go? Hang on. Just stay there for just a minute. Don't go yet. I just started. So how do I receive the grace and blessing of God in His house? There's four ways, very simple. They're laid out in the Word of God, and they're so simple that a lot of times we can just ignore them. This is one that you've heard so many times here, and you will hear 1,000 times more because it is that important. Make God a priority in your life. Pastor, I've already heard Pastor Jessica say that to me. I've already heard Pastor Dan say that to me. I heard Pastor Brian say it a few weeks ago. Why do you guys always have to say that? Because it has to be said. Till this day in our society, people still ignore that God has to be a priority again in our lives. It is so important, my friends, that God is a priority in your thinking, in your buying, in your process, in what you do, in raising your children, in your relationship. God has to be at the forefront of what you do. Because it is the way that we're going to receive the blessings of God for our lives. This is so crucial. I've shared before, I guess I'll share it again. My wife and I, we do not buy a car without praying or consulting God. We don't buy a house without praying or consulting God. I don't care how good of a business offer you bring me, I got to bring it before the Lord. Because I want God a priority in my life. And what a lot of times happens, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty, is I buy the car because I get excited. I get one of the leaders, come pray, pour oil over that car and bless it and praise God. And then I realize I don't have enough for the payment. Man, I got in trouble now. Hello? This is why we have to pray. Just because you liked it doesn't mean it's from God. It has to be from God. It has to be from God. As a matter of fact, my wife and I, we bought lesser cars that we could afford and they weren't as nice just because we believe this is the one God told us to get. Trust me, I've argued with the Lord. God, I don't like that car. It's ugly. Buy it. All righty then. I'll get it. But because that happens, then other things get unlocked in our lives. Making that a priority is so important. As simple as that, in any way, in the things that you do, it is important to make Him a priority, to bring Him, and to listen to what God is saying. In the book of Malachi, this is Malachi chapter 3. It's very known for the verse on tithing. But the idea that I want you to get about Malachi is not just this verse on tithing. It's Malachi is bringing a prophecy because Israel is a mess. A mess. It's such a mess that if you read chapter 1, chapter 2, God is laying out to everybody what they're doing wrong. So He's telling the people that they're wrong. Then he told the priest. The priest said, hey, you guys are making a mess. In one part, God says, listen, if the prince or the mayor of your town were to invite you, you will bring the best goat or sheep to the dinner. But he says, but to me, when you come to the sacrifice of the temple, you bring the maimed and the blind. The guy goes looking and goes, this sheep ain't gonna sell, and it's got a few days before it kicks the bucket. I'm bringing this to the temple. Literally, that's what the Bible says. They found the worst possible thing to suffice what God wanted. God, you want a sacrifice of a sheep? I'll bring you a sacrifice. God, I brought the sheep. You brought the worst sheep. That's not a priority. But I did what you said, which is bring a sheep. But you did it your way. How about if I do it God's way?
Yes.
Do you know Jesus was unblemished? Perfection? And that's what every sheep had to represent every time he came before the altar. The best. Can we find the best among ourselves? God, I'm going to give you the best. Have you ever said this to yourself? We've all been there. I'm not trying to cast blame. But we've all said, well, if this party gets canceled, if I go to the beach, you know what? I got nothing to do. I'll go to church. You're like, Pastor, I'm here tonight because I had nothing else. No. I'm glad you're here tonight. But sometimes we need intentionality in our lives. We need intentionality. And that's what I'm trying to communicate. We need intentionality. Believe me, I've been there. I've been there so many times. So I am just telling you things that I've been through. So if I've done it, I know you go through it and you think it. But when we bring, make God a priority, it's important. And look, the Lord says, I want you to test me something. I want you to bring all the tithe. Why would the Lord insist all? Because people were picking and choosing. He's saying, I want you to bring it all. And I'm not preaching about tithing. But then he tells them a blessing, because this is what God does. God says, if I'm asking you to do something, it's because I have something better in return for you. So trust me. So trust me. Trust me. And this is what I mean. Don't look at the earthly situation. Look at the heavenlies. And here's what God says. Malachi 3:12, he says, and all the nations, after you bring the tithe and you start trusting me, and all the nations will call you, what is that word?
Bless.
Bless. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I want to be a delightful land. I want people to see me and say, man, something good is happening in that life. That begins by making God first. Look what happens in Psalms 115, 11 through 13. I love this psalm. The whole psalm is amazing. But look at these verses. It says, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. To those who trust the Lord. And verse 12. The Lord has been, what is that word? Mindful of us. He is thinking of you. If you thought this morning when you went to work frustrated with your children, with traffic, with low pay, that nobody was thinking about you, Psalm 115 says, I am mindful of you. I am mindful of your situation. And you have to remind yourself that, because sometimes you feel, man, am I the only one? Here's what God is saying. I have you in mind also. I am mindful. He's mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Verse 13, he will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Both small and great. Let me tell you something. I believe God still wants to bless San Bernardino. Even though we show up on the list of everything that is bad in America. Have you ever seen those things on Facebook? Every time it pops up in my Facebook feed, 10 worst cities, and they start listing. Oh, let me see if we show up. We always show up. Usually top five. So I'm like, man, this is terrible. 10 worst of this. 10. I'm like, can somebody put a list of good things that happened? Let me just tell you some of the things that have happened in this town that are good. And I believe God wants to do something. The McDonald's company started in this country, in this state, just down the road, and in this city. I believe Taco Bell, Baker's, all from this area. Amazing large food companies. Very important for you to know. Do you know American Airlines had, I believe, one of the first offices here in San Bernardino? I believe the San Bernardino Airport is one of the largest airports around in terms of the runway. It can land very powerful big airplanes, so it could become an international hub. And that in and of itself can create an amazing amount of business. For a city like this, here's what I'm telling you. Sometimes we might feel small, but there's a potential in us of things that God can do. So if you feel like your city, I want you to know you have a God that is bigger than your situation and in your city today, making a priority. Making a priority. And so that's important. I love doing those research, and my wife loves to do it too, of the history of this town that we live in, because there's so many good things that have happened that nobody talks about. But good has come out of San Bernardino also. And good still here. I believe God is still doing something. It doesn't matter what the devil's doing. I want to see what he's doing. I want to see it in the Spirit's eyes. And I believe he's still at work in this gray city, both small and great. Here's the second thing you got to do. Once you make God a priority in your life, you have to honor his house. I want to drive this point, and I want you to get it in your heart, because I believe that's what God has given me. So if I'm a little passionate at times with this, it's not blaming you, but it hopefully inspiring you to honor the house of God. Because when we honor the house of God, something amazing happens in our lives, and something great. There's something God loves about the corporate gathering of his people in a place that he has assigned for them to be. I don't care what it is. Pastor Dan was sharing with me a story that happened in Oregon, that Pastor Luke took him to a pizza place that used to be a church. And Pastor Dan said, I hated every bite of that pizza because I couldn't believe that what once was a church is now a pizza place. That is not the desire of the heart of God. The heart of God is that there'll be a place for their people to meet so that they can honor him and we can honor his house, so his name will be great. For whatever reason, God loves a meeting place, and the meeting place is important. The meeting place is important for God. And every time I read the word of God, and he does not get away from it. Now, I'm not saying every place has to be as a grandeur, majestic as this. This is a vision that God gave our founders. But whatever place God chooses and that people choose to come together as corporate and invite God in it, something happens when we say this is a house of God in here. There's something happening in that place. And Jesus honored that. You guys know the story of the cleansing of the temple. I have an image of the temple. And this story is so amazing because some historians have said that the temple laid out, so if you're looking at it from your, let me see, you're sitting this way, so from the right to the left, that would be the entry. I believe that was the gate, beautiful, which is mentioned in the book of Acts and different areas. And so as you enter the first open area that you see, there was another larger area called the court of the Gentiles. That's as far the Gentiles could go. And then after that came the court of the women, because the women worshiped separate than the men. Then came the area of the men, then came the area of the teachers, and then that was where the Levites were further in. So there was some levels to it. And so Jesus comes and see that there's people selling all kinds of stuff right in the area, and they're not allowing the Gentiles to be able to enter, not even get close to the temple itself, because there was so much happening, so much abuse. And Jesus gets absolutely frustrated. I believe John says that he sat down and made a whip while looking at the scene. So Jesus builds some anger before he went at it. Right, he's like, I'm gonna watch this. I'm gonna see what's going on, and then I'm gonna let it rip. And he says he went after and flipped the tables and started just whipping everybody, saying, "You guys, this what's happening here?" And so, because what the design of God was not being honored in that moment. And these are his words. This was verse 13 of Matthew 21. He says, and he said to them, the scripture declares, my temple will be called a house of prayer. And Isaiah said, a house of prayer for all nations. All nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. So he measures two scriptures, one in Isaiah, one in Jeremiah. And so he brings out these two scriptures and says, this is what you guys are turning. Now watch this. Verse 14, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Let me just say it to you this way. When the obstacles are removed, the healing can begin. When the obstacles are removed, the healing can begin. And we've put too many obstacles in front of God for him to do what he has to do for our lives. Now, I want to invite you today to honor his house and remove whatever obstacle there may be so that you can get the healing that he promises, that you can have access, direct access to Jesus. Because as long as these people were there blocking the action, Jesus couldn't get to them, and they couldn't get to Jesus, and Jesus wasn't able to heal. But when that was removed, when he said, forget this, all of this is over, then all of a sudden they had access to God himself. God himself. And it's so interesting that he did it right outside in the court of the Gentiles. And right now Jesus says, I did not come for the Gentiles, I came for the Jews. But there'll be a day that gospel will reach them. But they got a taste of it that day. What an amazing thing. They got a taste of the future, because Jesus says, this is not what I have designed. I want you to know something. God likes that we honor his house in every way possible. I don't know about you, but the house of God is so important. It's so important in society. It's so important for all of us. As a matter of fact, I read an article that blew me away. Do you know that the American Health Association declared the year 2023, here's the magazine cover, the year of the epidemic of loneliness? The year of the epidemic of loneliness. There's a book written about this thing, where after COVID, people developed their certain way to behave that no longer included society at large, and people became separated, and now everyone was kind of dealing with their lives alone. Do you know that is the biggest mental health crisis in America is actually loneliness? It's actually loneliness. That is a sad statement, my friend. That is a sad statement because more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus declared that his church will not be overcome by hell, and that when you came into the family of God, you were called a brother and a sister, and you were included as a child of God. You have a family. You have a father. There's a connection that exists, and everything begins with the honor of the house of God. Everything begins there. And when we told people that this was unnecessary, we took away the honor that it deserves. And all of a sudden, people are just finding their way. And there's an epidemic of loneliness. I want to tell you how important the house of God is, because it's so crucial for us to be there. For me, it has shaped my entire life. My entire life. I learned to play guitar because I went to church and somebody taught me. I never got on the stage. I got on the stage because a group of my friends convinced me to be part of a play at church. I think I was like 12 years old. Otherwise, I would have never attempted it. Nobody in my family sings. Nobody in my family does any of that. The first time I ever preached at a pulpit was at a children's ministry event. And I was asked to preach. My mother helped me write a message. I was 9 years old. 9 years old. Everything happens because I was in the house of God. The best and deepest friendships I have all came out of the house of God. When people dishonor the house of God, they're missing out on a profound connection with family. Amen. And so everything begins with honoring his house. What I experienced just literally 2 hours ago, when I went to the house of a person that we're believing in faith and seeing what God is doing. But when I got there, there was already 5 other people from our Spanish ministry already in the house before I even got there. They were loving on him. They wanted to let him know, you're part of a family. You're not alone going through this. I didn't call any of those people. They figured out a way to be there. I didn't inspire them to go do that. They did it because they honor the house of God and the people of God. And there's no epidemic of loneliness when you have a family around you. And when you've honored the house of God, you get the blessings that are found within the house of God, my friend. Within the house of God. You might say, Pastor, I'm coming at this at a very older age. What do I do? Find your family in the family of God. There's stuff you can do. I always say, my mother planted a church at age 50-something. She went out into some village in the Dominican Republic and decided she was going to plant a church. I already lived in the States. That lady was crazy. And so God used it mightily to do that. She wasn't going to stay home. Her kids were grown. What am I going to do here? I'm going to go do something for God. And people follow her. Younger people follow her because there was a family. So I want to inspire you that the house of God is so crucial. That you love it, that you honor it. And I've always loved our pastors, founding pastors, which are obviously our senior pastor and continuing legacy. When I got to this place, I remember he was sharing with us, and my wife were new here, why it was important to keep the church clean. I was like, it was clean, but the concept behind it was so honoring. It was so honoring. It was really surprising. And so just that alone is a thought and is an idea being sent to the Lord saying, we want to honor this place, God, with everything we do, even in the way we treat it. Even in the way we treat it. Again, a lot of times we're not taught this because we've separated. We've made this thing so, nubious and so woo, and God is everywhere. He's everywhere. But something happens in the community of the saints that I cannot explain. Only God can. God shows up when his people are together in a meeting place. He'll show up for you too if you honor his house. I'll keep moving. So how do I receive that? Not only do I make it a priority, not only do I honor his house. Number 3 is very important, with a sensitive heart. So once I've honored his house, when I say, this is important, God, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of what you're doing. I want to do it with a sensitive heart. And I want to be very clear here because a lot of time people have equated sensitivity to femininity. I'll repeat that. People have equated sensitivity to femininity. That is not the case. That is not the case. Sensitivity means that I am attentive and available to the voice and direction of God for my life. That is sensitivity. Jesus was the most sensitive man, and he was the toughest man that ever existed. But he always said, I want to hear what the Father is doing, and I want to do that which the Father says. He was paying attention to the direction of God in his life. And a lot of time we've made sensitivity this thing that you have to be some woo-woo or whatever. You have to get in touch with your feminine side. Nothing to do with that. All you have to do is put an ear to what God is saying to your life and do that. Do that. Say, God, what are you telling me? I gotta end some of these relationships. Do that. Because there's a blessing behind it. You don't know why God's telling you to do that. Do that. And it is so crucial for us to obey God in that sense. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but having a sensitive heart is very important. So I told you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was really important because Jeremiah is the prophet that prophesies that they'll go to the captivity. Now, nobody believed this because there were some other prophets that were saying nothing but good stuff. And this is why it's important to know the Word of God and to know what He says and what times He's saying it. So here's God speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah saying, nah, man, we're going to be captive. Babylon is going to take us, and we're going to roll 70 years over there. But these guys will come. Don't listen to this. This guy's a fool. God is going to bless us. Everything's going to be good. The economy's great, and we're going to keep going, and we're going to do this and that. Don't listen to that. God is still on our side. And Jeremiah saying, nah, those guys are not telling you what God is actually saying. And that was a tough decision. So they found themselves in this tug of war between guys who were telling them what they wanted to hear and the guy who was actually saying what God was saying. Ooh, that's a good one. And this is why the house of God is important. Now, let me just be clear here. I am not against social media because there's everything, and YouTube has all kinds of preachers. But if you are in a healthy house like you are today, you may want to listen to what's being said in the house first before you listen to what's being said on YouTube first. Let's start there. Again, we ourselves are on YouTube, so I'm not criticizing. But unless you know what is being said in the house that you live, then the influences on the outside are contrary. Now, if you're in a church, if you're this and that is not healthy, you have to work that out with God. But you happen to be in a healthy one. So how do you evaluate that? How do the truth of God becomes very important in what you do? Because you honor the house of God, and God will show you what to do. And this is so crucial for us to be able to understand how to make this point. Because unless we know what's happening, we can get absolutely trashed. We have to have a sensitive ear and a sensitive heart. I think I've shared this with you before, but when my wife and I lived in Las Vegas, my father-in-law, who passed away recently, a tremendous man of God, and he became an apostle. He had an apostolic work all over South America, so the local church was handed over to two other pastors, and so they went on with some things, and the church continued, but we stayed with the local church. I mean, that's the church my father-in-law founded, and so we continue to support it. My wife sang in the worship. I play bass in worship. We were volunteers. We were tithers, just like we do here. We were absolutely committed to the house of God, but some teachings began to infiltrate the church that were not of God, and things got really, really weird, really out of whack. And so this is when you need to listen to the voice of God. So you need to listen to the voice of God. And for a year now, my wife had mentioned, hey, we should move to California. I said, I don't think God is speaking to us to do that. And so I had a really good job, and things were going great, and maybe that's why I didn't want to move. Things were going great. I'm not sure. You decide. Because some people pack up and left the state when it went really bad. But we're listening to God, and so I remember I told her, I said, I don't think this house is healthy enough for us to be here anymore. So we went to her uncle's church for a few Sundays while we figured out, but that's when the voice of God came. And I remember distinctively, I told her after our service, I said, it is time to move to California. Now, mind you, I had no job. I knew maybe two people in this state, but I just knew I heard the voice of God. And this is why it's important for you to be sensitive and for you to honor His house. Do you know that even though we were in that church and things were difficult and the teaching was off, we never stopped tithing, ever. Ever. Because I don't control God with my money. Matter of fact, it's not even my money. It's His money. So that is a free message, wasn't part of this series, but, collect there. Because I remember telling my wife, I said, okay, but we're still committed to the house of God. And I remember while we had no church, this is probably August through October when we became members of this church in 2004. So all those times, I just put my tithe away in a savings account. And I remember when we made this our church, then we went ahead and deposited the money. Why? Because it was God's money. It was God's money. I don't control God that way. I want to honor His house. I want to be sensitive to what He's saying. And when he told us to move here, now, look at this. I told my boss, I said, boss, I really feel I need to move to California. My wife is ministering. Her ministry was growing. She was a singer at the time. And so her ministry was going. I said, you know, I'm just going to go support my wife. And so we're moving out to California. And so so my job had an office in Montclair, I think it was, or Montebello. So I said, hey, boss, can I be transferred to office in Montebello? Absolutely, man, we'll have you out there, and you can move out. And so we were excited about this thing. Do you know that at the same time, the International School of Ministry, Dr. Barron, was moving out of Orange County to the Inland Empire? Now, I had no idea, but he had asked me to translate something for him because, you know, I was a translator. And so I come here to translate. And when I'm here translating, my wife's a witness, the Lord says, this is where you're coming. And I said, no, man, my job is in Montebello. I ain't coming here. Closer to the beach. So Barron, we finished the translation. Barron said, hey, listen, we're moving out of Orange County to come here. This is a church. Pastor Jim is my friend. I want to offer you a position. We want to expand the Spanish program that we're doing. Would you come and join us? And this was not in the books, my friend. I had no plans to join, no ministry. As a matter of fact, I was coming to Loma Linda before I even knew this church existed because they have a program for international dentists. I was a dentist, and so I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to Loma Linda, finish my program, get my license, and go work as a dentist. And so that was the whole plan. This was none of the plan, but because I kept hearing God, and God said, go do that. Now, at the time, because Dr. Barron was a small ministry, he couldn't offer him as much as I was making elsewhere. But because I listened and I wanted to honor the house of God, I said, yes, I'll do that. It wasn't fun living in my sister-in-law's bedroom. She had a nice house in Redlands, and we got a couple bedrooms. We had a one-year-old. It was uncomfortable, especially for the ladies. You're sharing the same kitchen with your younger sister, but she's the owner of the house, and you're not. So she was in a tough position as the older sister. It was really hard. We stayed in our rooms, and we go to the yard sometimes, and it was very difficult. But you know what? I heard the voice of God. And I wanted to honor his house. So I did what he was saying for me to do. And every little step over the years, God blessed every step of the way. I didn't know he had La Roca in his heart. I didn't know he wanted me to be here. I had no idea none of this stuff was going to happen. I had no idea that I was going to have a few more kids in this church. I had no idea they wanted to serve in this church. But everything happened because we honored the house of God. We made it a priority, and we stayed where he said to stay. So Jeremiah is telling these people, you're going somewhere because God is sending you, and it won't be fun. But I want you to do something in Babylon. And here's what he says. Jeremiah 3:15, he says, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart. God says, I'm not giving you shepherds according to your heart. What's happening today is people are looking for shepherds according to their hearts. Well, I like what he says, so I'm going to follow what they're saying, but they might not be following what God is saying. You got to follow a shepherd that is listening to the voice of God according to the heart of God, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass that when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days. Are you kidding me? You know what the Lord is saying? While you are suffering in captivity, I'm going to make you larger. I don't know about you, but I want that word. God, when I'm going through it, is because you're making me better, bigger, more important, more influential, whatever you want me to be while I'm there. I want to be that. And God says, don't worry about it, says the Lord, that they will say no more, no more. Look, the people, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it shall not come to mind. This verse is crazy. The ark of the covenant was the most important artifact for the Israelites. It represented the presence of God. And God himself is saying, you will not even have to remember that. There was a reason for it. And it shall come to mind, and you shall not remember it, nor shall it visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. Watch this, 17. At that time, Jerusalem, the place. Remember, God wants a place. Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall gather to it. In the name of the Lord to Jerusalem, no more shall they follow the dictates of the evil hearts. God says, when you get to that place is going to be the throne of God. All of a sudden, God says, my presence is moving out of this box called the ark, And I'm expanding my presence. I'm expanding my presence. I don't know about you, but I want to be where the presence of God is at all times, at every time. I need a touch from God in every area. And we all know Jeremiah 29:11, he comes and declares a blessing over them. But I love it how he continues. We all know Jeremiah 29:11, but verse 12 and 13 are so important. He says, if you seek me, when you pray to me and you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So not just read 29:11, keep reading. It's an amazing invitation. Here's three blessings that are found in the house of God when we are led with a sensitive heart. Number one, God says here that I will give you good leaders. That's a blessing that is found in the house of God when our heart is right. Here's number two, that I will give you new memories in the presence of God. I think a lot of times, it's not wrong, there's nothing wrong with that, but we fall in love with old songs and we feel that is the only way that God shows up. And that's what God was trying to avoid for them, to get stuck in one place. And they're saying, I'm doing something new every time. I'm building something new. There's a new sound. There's a new wave. There's a new direction. I'm doing something new. Don't get stuck there. Now, we love it. I love it. I love singing. Those songs bring me to tears all the time. And I even tell, you know, our Spanish service and our music director for Spanish, he knows, man, you play me some of those songs from the 90s, I'm balling. I'm preaching good that day. So go for it, right? Because we love it. There's nothing wrong with it. But I don't say, because I didn't sing that song, I'm not finding the presence of God. Don't get stuck. Here's number three, evidence of the blessing of God in your life. When you are in the right house, when you honor his house, there'll be evidence that God is doing something in your life and is preparing for something great. And here's where I want to end. Here's where I want to end tonight. You have energy for one more. How to receive the grace and blessing of God, taking steps of obedience. A lot of times what happens is we hear a good message, we hear the voice of God, and we leave it at a wonderful thing that we've heard and we don't do anything with it. And this is so important for us to take steps of obedience, moving forward into what God is doing, using the community to help. I love what I'm seeing from what's happening in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. Do you know that most of the help is coming from the community? It is people helping people. It's an amazing thing. It is people helping people. It's a community that came and said, hey, if no one's there, we're here, we're going to figure out. In the spirit of the same thing. There might not be something out there, but here, somebody's going to help you, lead you in a way. Community is important. And we got to take those steps for us to be able to walk in the way. And this is the word that came from the Lord through our pastor in Zechariah. And this is the word that came from God to Zechariah. So 70 years later, they're leaving because Jerusalem is destroyed. And they're going back to rebuild. And so these people, not all of them went, a handful of them went and went back. Nehemiah was building the outside of the wall. Zerubbabel was building the temple. No, so these guys each had a function that they needed to do as they rebuilt, if I'm not mistaken, of the story. Zechariah 4 says this. So he answered and said to me, this is the Lord, the word that came to God for us. This is the word of the Lord for Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Can you read that with me? 1, 2, 3. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Man, that is amazing. He's saying, hey, listen. He's saying, it is not about you. You're going to take the step, but it is all about the strength of God, the grace of God manifesting in your life for you to do what he's calling you to do. And whatever that may be, it begins in the house of God. Verse number 7 says, who are you, O great mountain? He's saying, you're nothing before Zerubbabel shall become a plain, and it shall bring forth the capstone. Now watch this. With shouts of grace, grace to it. And I said, Lord, what are you meaning by this? What is it that you want us to do? And I don't want to give you a new grace definition, but for this message, here's what the Lord says. Grace is the manifestation of God's help for my disability. Grace is a manifestation of God's help for my disability. Grace is a manifestation of God. I believe I had it there. If the guys can help me in the back, that would be very helpful. Grace is that manifestation of God's help for my disability. What do you mean by that? You know, when you have a disability, you need an item to help you. You need something that's going to aid you in what you do. That is the grace of God. And the grace of God is not just something theoretical. The grace of God is when help is manifested. And this is why it's so amazing, because God says, I want you to do something. When Zerubbabel start building, I want you to shout grace, grace to it. I said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And the Lord said, you got to shout to your situation. And here's what the Lord is saying. Do you feel, are you living in an unloving marriage? Then I want you to do something. I want you to every morning get up and say, I'm shouting love, love to my marriage. Because that's what I need. That's what I need. Are you having a mental health crisis? Then I'm shouting a sound mind and a sound mind, the Lord declares for me. And I'm going to shout it now to myself. And I'm believing because when we shout grace, grace to it, something is manifested by the power of God. But everything begins in the house of God. And it wasn't until they decided to build that God said, when you're building and when you're putting every stone, you're going to shout grace, grace to it. Here's what you're saying. God, you're going to show up in my disability and you're going to help me in what I'm going through right now. Grace, grace to it. You're going to show up. And this is so powerful because unless we declare those things, then it's difficult to happen. So how do we put it all together? Verse 10, Zechariah tells us right away. Zechariah says, do not despise these small beginnings. Yes, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And he sees the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Here's, the Lord sends the prophet and says, Zechariah, tell Zerubbabel to not be overcome by how much construction it has to be done. Tell him not to be overcome. Tell him that God is happy that all he's doing is holding a level right now. That's what that verse means. It says that he grabbed a level. Man, I failed as a preacher. I should have brought a level. preachers have to have good examples. He said, God, if you don't know what a plumb line is, if you're not in construction, it's basically a metal point at the bottom with a little string. And in your eye, something might look straight. But when you put the plumb line, you can see if the board is twisted or not. That's what we use a level for. And God says, you know what? When you're building something, just the fact that you held the level, I'm rejoicing with you. I'm rejoicing with you. Can I be very vulnerable? Many years ago, because of my health and certain things, God asked me to get back to lifting weights. And it's so painful. It's so uncomfortable. I'm not 20 anymore. My shoulder hurts. My elbow hurts. I was telling Pastor Ryan and I were laughing. We're like, we look like Transformers when we try to lift weights because we have an elbow brace. We have a shoulder strap. We have this thing. And so we have to put out equipment to be able to lift 20 pounds. And so actually, he's beefy. I'm not that. But I was very vulnerable because I just felt the Lord asked me to do this. So I said, okay, so I'm going to do this. And it's so hard because I want to feel like I used to feel before. And I have to remind myself, the Lord rejoices when the plumb line is in my hand. The Lord rejoices when the plumb line is in my hand. I don't know what you have to do, man, but grab the plumb line. The plumb line is, I got to confess, I got to just tell my wife that I love her, even though sometimes I don't feel it. You do that. You hold a plumb line. If that means I can't tell her, but maybe I'll bring some flowers and say nothing, do that. But do something. Yeah. Right? If you're saying, I want an advancement in work and I feel the Lord wants me to take an online course and I don't even have Wi-Fi, then find a way to get Wi-Fi. Let's start one thing at a time. But don't go, I don't have Wi-Fi. I don't have the latest Macintosh computer that costs $1,500. I always tell my kids, you're not going to be the kid with the $1,000 Jordans that can't make a shot. That's not going to happen. You're going to show up with the Ross Reeboks. And then when you're making something, then we'll go to the next store. Am I the only one that's like that? I'm like, nah, dude. Kid has all the gear, can't play. Nah, get out of here. That ain't happening. Yeah, my kid was really good at soccer, but I always tell him, I said, nah, you ain't getting those Ronaldo $90 sneakers. Let's go get some cleats first. I don't want to destroy your toes, obviously. Don't get them $20. But, you know, a lot of times we need to do that. We want to get the latest thing. Let me get the most expensive Bible. But you're not reading even the $20 one that you have now. Like, read that. Because you got to hold the plumb line. Hold the level. And God says, if you're holding the level, I'll be happy. Because you're starting somewhere. We're going somewhere together. Would you close your eyes right where you're at? Would you close your eyes? Just ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? How can I honor your house? How can I rebuild your house once again? How can I do this? What are you asking me? I want to hear from you. I want to be led by you. God, when is grace going to show up for my disability? For the things that are ailing me in my life? Whatever it may be, ask him, Lord. I'm struggling with this. I don't know, I can mention many things, but whatever it is for you, is it an issue with anger, unforgiveness, trusting, whatever it may be, you got to start shouting grace, grace to it. Got to start telling him God's going to show up. grace to it. Thank you, Lord. God, we're grateful for your grace and your blessings that are found in your house. You have built a beautiful house in San Bernardino called The Rock. It was in your heart many, many years ago, and is still in your heart today. And I pray that all of us, some go, some come, but all of us that become part of this family, that you will speak to us, Lord God, and that we can shout grace, grace to whatever situation as we honor your house. May you show up in our disability to strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You give God a praise if he spoke to you today. Pastor Dan, go for it.
Man, that was so good. I loved it. Pastor Paul, you look good too. I mean, wait a second. Okay, we're twinning today. God's good. Hey, that was so good. Such a great word and so powerful. And I tell you, I am 100% on board with everything, especially about the importance of the house of God. We give our lives for this place because we believe in it so much. And these are places that we create a space for us to encounter God and the community of faith that's here. Man, when you're down, there's someone to lift you up. When you need prayer, there's somebody interceding for you. I mean, there's so much goodness in the house of God. So did you guys get something from the word tonight? Wasn't that good? I tell you, it was amazing. Answered a lot of questions, especially why does he drive that car? I did find that out tonight, so praise the Lord. Hey, let's bring our tithes and our offerings tonight into the house of God with joy. Come on, can we celebrate? Can we rejoice? God, good. We're going to make a declaration of our faith, a confession of our faith. Anybody seen anything happen from this confession recently? All right, look it. I see some hands out there. Okay, praise the Lord. We're getting our faith focused. You know what, Pastor Jess? We got a check in the mail, right? I was amazed. I was like, we've been confessing, and there was a letter open on the counter, and at the bottom of it was a check. You know how they do that? They write, hey, there's been an error in your favor, and so the hospital gave us a check, and I looked at it. Honey, was it? Yeah, $5. I mean, five American spending. I got a check in the mail. So if God can do it for me, what can he do for you? Come on, stand to your feet. Let's get our faith focused. Let's believe God. And on the count of three, we're going to say this. Get your pointer finger out. And when we get to the one that you're believing God for, I want you to make your neighbor nervous and shout it out, okay? And so on the count of three, here we go all together. One, two, three. As we give in today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs. Your word says that you are able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. I now give into the kingdom of God to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. As you're having a seat tonight, the ushers are standing at their feet. They have envelopes available for those of you who are in need of one to give by cash or credit card. As well, you can check the seat in front of you and see if there's one within reach. All the different digital ways to give are up on the overhead screens. You can also do the tap to give if you see that little card on the seat back in front of you. And you can just tap your phone on there if it's on, and it'll shoot you a link through that card. Amazing technology. And then you can just follow that to our website, use your PayPal account, or set up an account with us. If you do use our account, you can set that up online and choose reoccurring gifts or one-time gifts. Make sure to choose which one you want because it will default to reoccurring. So if you don't want to give it every time at the same time, make sure to make that a one-time gift. That's a great way to give. Let me pray for you guys. Keep filling out your offering envelopes, your checks, doing your text to give, whatever you're doing. Keep doing it. I'm going to pray. Father, bless the givers tonight. We're so grateful as we come into your house that we have the opportunity to bless your name, God, to bless your kingdom. God, to build your house and your temple, a place and a space for people to come and meet up with you. Thank you for the cleanliness that we talked about tonight and the excellence of the ministries here at The Rock, all because someone gave, God. For all the missionaries that are being supported from this place and the outreaches that are going into our city, all because someone gave. And so, God, bless your givers. Take care of their financial needs. God, we know that there's a lot of them. Prices are rising. But, Lord, we trust in you. You're our provider. And so, God, we don't look to the provision. We look to the provider to take care of our needs. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Everybody in agreement said, amen, amen. All right, the ushers are going to stand and receive the honoring of the Lord tonight. As they do that, I got a couple quick announcements for you guys. One is that we're going into a season of opportunity when it comes to generosity, reaching out and reaching in. And so Christmas Tree is actually coming up. This is an in-reach to help Rock Church members who are unable to provide Christmas gifts for their children. So maybe that's some of you in this place. Listen, there's no shame if you're going, I don't know how we're going to make it this Christmas. The Rock wants to help. Once again, one of the blessings of the house of God. If your children, and this is babies all the way through sixth grade, are not going to get a Christmas gift unless, you know, you get some help. The Rock wants to help, okay? So you can visit the Command Center for more information and to sign up for that. As well, coming up this weekend, October 19th to 20th, in the chapel after every morning service, we want to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you can be empowered to live boldly for God and experience the gifts of the Spirit in your life. There'll be a quick teaching, prayer, and you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the promise is for you, for your children, and to those who are far off. How many know we're far away from the day of Pentecost, and yet the Holy Spirit is still for us today. And so you need to get prayer for that this weekend after every morning service. And then Sunday night, October 20th, 6 p.m., we're going to just have a Holy Spirit night where we come and experience the power of God's presence. Pastor Jess is going to bring a teaching on one of the gifts of the Spirit. And there's always special times, special moments. Some of you guys have approached us and talked to us about how God touched you, what God did in your life. Man, and it's just going to be so powerful. If you have not come to a Holy Spirit night, I would encourage you, check it out this Sunday night, 6 p.m., right here in the main sanctuary. And then Trick or Treat's coming up. This is an opportunity for us to invite people. Now listen, we don't celebrate Halloween, all right? And this is not the devil's day. This is the Lord's day, all right? God made that day. The devil didn't do nothing except try and bring darkness. And so we're going to shine the light on that night. And so I would encourage you to bring your neighbors, bring people that wouldn't normally come to church. But if you'd like to serve that night, we could definitely use your help, especially specifically, they're telling me on the card. The card says it, so it must be true. It says, men, we need your help. Any men in the room? Oh, come on. Is there any men in the room? But let's just contrast this. Are there any ladies in the room? Men, y'all need to show up a little bit more. All right. Is there any men in the room? There you are. All right. We need your help. Visit the Info Hub to sign up for October 31st. That's a Thursday night, okay? We're going to be here from 5:30 to 7:30. We could use your help if you're available. Come and join us. That's all I got. We got two quick videos, and then Pastor Paul's going to be right back. So don't get up and leave during this time. Check out what else is going on here at The Rock.
Come and join us on October 31st at 5:30 p.m. for 2024 Trunk or Treat. There will be plenty of candy, food vendors, and fun for the kids. This is a safe and friendly place to bring your family. Invite everyone you know. Get involved by bringing a bag of wrapped candy and placing it in the donation bins in the outer foyer. If you want to decorate your car and pass out candy, please visit the Command Center. And to volunteer for this event, sign up at the Info Hub after service. We look forward to seeing you there.
Get ready, because the men's breakfast is back. Come fellowship with us on October 19th at 7:30 a.m. in the Youth Auditorium with special guest Jeff Osborne. Breakfast is only $15. Men, this is the last one of the year, so join us, and we'll see you there.
Guys, you don't want to miss that. Jeff is absolutely amazing. Good food. There's always extra, and so you want to show up. Bring somebody with you. Always people give their hearts to the Lord, isn't it? Great place. The preacher went a little long today. I am the shortest preaching person here, but I got excited today. I went beyond my skin level and so beyond my tone. But I just want to make sure you're okay with God before we leave. If you give me 500 minutes of your time, I just want to make sure that you check your heart. And here's a question I like to ask you that's very important. If the death were to knock your heart today, where would you be? Would you be in hell or would you be in heaven? It's a very important question a lot of people don't like to ask, and they don't ask it because there's always an assumption. And in our culture, there's an assumption that heaven is for just about anybody. We say that heaven is for people that are good and decent, even though there are no biblical verses that support that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the book of Isaiah says that if you think by doing good things you earn it, those good things become like filthy rags, like dirty rags to the Lord. Because why would he send his only son to die a horrific death if you can behave well enough to make it into heaven? How about this one? Pastor, I'm a religious person. I'm not perfect, you know, but I know about God, and you know, I'm not against God. I'm not one of those people that are doing those things. So therefore, God will see those things and let me into heaven. I am glad you those things. I'm glad you're not against God. But just because you have an understanding of religion or the existence of God doesn't make you have a relationship with his son, Jesus. And that's very important. How about this? It is so important that we have one disability in our soul, and that disability is called sin. And this is why we need Jesus. Jesus was grace manifested. Jesus was the solution to a problem that you and I cannot solve for ourselves. And that is why we're going after God. Not because of the social construct, not because you have it in your head, not because the TV told you, not because somebody said in society that you're good. None of those things. It is all about Jesus. This is how Jesus says it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So he's saying the only way to have a connection with God the Father, it is through Jesus. And today, I want to give you that invitation. I want to challenge you in a moment to take a step of faith. And that step of faith is so important. In a moment, this is how we do it at our church. I count to three, I'll clap my hands, and you raise your hand right where you're at, indicating that, Pastor, I want to do that prayer. I want to invite Jesus in my heart, and I want to ask him to forgive me today. When you raise your hand, that's what you're saying. And then I'm going to invite you to pray together with us. Why? Because that step is so important. Now, you may say, Pastor, hey, can we just do a prayer quiet? You know, nobody's watching us, and I just do it here in my seat. You may. It can happen. It has happened. But I believe God, Jesus wants bold people. Here's how he says. He says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. But if you deny me, these are his words. If you deny me and you sit there and go, that's not for me. Jesus says, I will deny you. He doesn't want to deny anybody. He went to a cross and died because he loves you. All Jesus is asking is that you don't play religion with him. That you don't say yes because you're here and then you walk around. No, he's saying, I need some bold people who said, I'm in need of Christ today. And that's you. If that's you today, in a moment I count to three, you raise your hand and we pray together. Who should raise your hand? If you've never done this prayer, tonight is your night. How about this? If you know God's speaking to you, sitting there, hey, that's for me, Pastor. Maybe you prayed it at one time, but your life did not follow the things that you said with your mouth. You said a prayer, but then you went your way. Today, it is a day to recommit and walk once again towards Jesus. This is your moment. This is your time. I count to three, you raise your hand and we pray together. Ready? Ready? One, two, three. Is there anyone in this place say, Pastor, that's me. I'm in need of Jesus tonight. I want to walk with Jesus this very day. This is your day and your moment. This is your moment. If you're fighting in your heart, you say, hey, Pastor, that's me. I need that grace. I need that grace. I've been too far from God. This is really, really important for you to do that. So crucial. So crucial. If you're fighting, hey, I want someone else to do it. Maybe you're the first person. Maybe you're the first one to say, hey, that's me. I got to start this. I got to be brave and show my need of Christ. And it'll begin from there. This is your moment of salvation. It's your moment of salvation. I'll give you a few more minutes. This is your time. It's your moment. Is that a hand right there? No? Okay. Just want to make sure. Pastor says you might scratch your head and show up in heaven. Well, I want to make sure that doesn't happen. You do it right. This is your moment. There's five of you. There's five of you tonight. That are saying, I see a hand, but they're not pointing. Wave at me so I can see you. God bless you, man. Good call. God bless you. God bless you. Two hands. You can put your hand down so you don't get tired. Didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. God bless you. God bless you. Absolutely. That's awesome. I believe that's three, four. It's more of you. This is your moment of salvation. God is calling you out, and he's saying, hey, you got to be brave. You got to be bold. Your life, you got to trust me. If you want to receive that grace, this is your moment of salvation. And in a moment, we'll pray together. But it all begins with a decision that's absolutely crucial. It begins with a decision that many of us at one point in our lives had to take. It's my last moment. If that's you, if you're fighting in your soul, don't put God aside anymore. Is there anyone else? We'll pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's give God a praise for those four hands. But you know what? Here's what I want to do. I believe there's five, six, seven of you. And in a moment, we're all going to stand. And when we stand, if that's you, if you probably didn't raise your hand, but you knew God spoke to you, when they come, you come forward. If you raise your hand, I want to meet with you. I want to pray together. So I want to invite you, grab anything, everything you have in your seat. If you need a friend, ask a friend. Meet me right here, right now. Would you stand today? And let's welcome. You be brave. You be brave. You come out. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just say, hey, I'm going for Jesus. Even if you didn't raise your hand, you're saying, I'm going for Jesus. I need Christ tonight. This is your moment of salvation. This is your time. God bless you, man. God bless you. God bless you. This is your moment of salvation. This is your time. Just get out of your seat. Let's welcome them. Say, hey, don't worry. Nothing to be ashamed. God is after your heart, man. You said yes. God is after your heart. Good job, man. God is after your heart. Good job. Good job, man. Good job. The decision, man. This is your moment of salvation. If that's you, 4, 5, 6, 7, if that's you, if God's speaking to you, don't put him aside anymore. Don't put him aside anymore. If you need a friend, tell him, hey, go with me, man. I've never done this. I wanna walk down with somebody. God is calling you out. God is calling you out. There's grace for you. There'll be power manifested. Good job, guys. Good job. Good job. God is working in your life tonight. I did it at one point. Others did it too. You can do it. You want to wait a little longer. If that's you, come on. You know in your heart, God is saying, you got to do it. Then go do it. Go do it. Go do it. This is your moment of salvation. You guys are up here, man. This is so awesome. I remember doing this same decision. I always share. I was in a small church. Come on. Hey, yeah, we got time. Make it a way. It's all right. I was in a small church. Everyone knew who I was. My mother was one of the founders of the church. So there was no doubt that, quote unquote, I was a Christian. But I knew sitting in that chair, I was far from God. I remember saying, God, God, everybody knows who I am. If I raise my hand, people are going to laugh. This is embarrassing. This is not. This is a big crowd. You can kind of hide, man. There was 50 people in that church, and everyone knew who I was. But I knew in here that I needed to do this. And I need to say, God, I am desperate for you. And it changed the trajectory of my life that one moment. And that's what you're doing tonight. You're changing the trajectory of your life for you, for your family, for your children's children, because that's what the word of God says when you stay with him. And it'll be a blessing in your life. We're going to pray together. This prayer is not magic words. The Bible says that you say with your mouth, but you confess with your heart. You believe it in here. So let's pray together. Repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I repent of my sins, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But today, I commit myself to you. From this day forward, I want to serve you. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want you to be the boss of my life until eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, God, I praise. It's awesome, man. Good job, good job. Men of God, that's what you guys are. That's awesome. Pastor Joel, one of our friends here, he's going to put some information in your hand. If you need more prayer, he'll pray with you. But this information is important. We want to help you walk this prayer. It's not just a prayer, but it's a walk. And he's going to show you how to do that, offering you a friend called SBT. So give him 5 minutes of your time, and then you'll be right back out with your family. So follow him right there. Get that, and then your family would meet you right away. Thank you, guys. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Real quick. I had an announcement that I forgot. I was so locked into the card that I forgot it. And that is, we want to give some honor. You know, at age 15, I got saved. And I went to a church in Moreno Valley. And my pastor was a great man of God. And he, through a process of time, has come to this church. Yep. And we've actually hired him on staff to help us out with pastoral care. Some of you guys probably have gotten a call from Pastor Rich Hall at the Rock Church to pray with you guys. And you don't know who Pastor Rich Hall even is, but he prayed with you and he loved on you. And he's just been amazing. He's doing like 50 to 60 calls a week for pastoral care here. And today is his birthday.
Come on.
Pastor Rich, wave at everybody. This is Pastor Rich Hall if you don't know him. He was my pastor, and I'm just so grateful for you. And so I just wanted to say, in the house of God,
amen,
we love you. Happy birthday. If you want to know how old he is, he's 29, and he said, plus tax and tips. So I like that. I like that. So God is good. Thank you for letting me do that. Love you, Pastor Rich.
I love that line. I'm going to steal that one. Let me bless you tonight. Would you raise your hand? Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for blessing your people, Lord, that we're gathered together in your house, Father, and that you would absolutely bless us as we go in the fields, we go out, Lord God, as we come in, that the blessing of God would be upon your people today, that your face would shine upon them, that favor of God would be on them everywhere they go, Lord God, that you would guide them in this step. I bless them today, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say amen. And about the Inland Empire, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.